Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
And the Flames keep chugging along, winning hockey games. Back home with a split, off for four games on the road now. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. We're on episode 106, December 1st, 2021, 22 games into the NHL season. We are at the quarter mark, and yeah. Is it for real, guys? Is it for real? I don't know. I' starting to believe. 3 day break from games. We get back at it tomorrow night, which is Thursday night, as the team heads down to LA. And a little break there. Team got a little break, which is good. We had American Thanksgiving to all of our American friends. Happy Thanksgiving. And what else happened? I'm in no way defending Brad Marchand on this, but the brutal slew foot, it was unreal. He got 3 games for it. But what I don't understand is Subban's done this 3 times in 1 month this year, and he got a $5,000 fine. Does this league play favorites or what? Gosh. Didn't like that slew foot, though. Even though it was against a Canucks player, didn't like it. I thought that was really, really classless. Flames lose Saturday night to the Jets. It was a great game, though, wasn't it? But God, I felt horrible after that loss. I felt horrible. You know, after so many years where, like, by game 20, we were pretty accustomed to losing and had learned how to cope with those losses and live with them when we're sitting on our couch after the game was over. But how quickly things have changed, and I feel so uncomfortable when we lose now. Just like it's not supposed to ever happen. Like we're going to roll off and win 70 in a row or 60 in a row. Silly stuff. I don't know. It's fun when your team is winning, and when they lose, it's a letdown. But that's a good thing, I think. I think that's part of why we love sports, isn't it? You know, the highs and the lows. I'm not trying to sound scared or negative, but I feel like every point matters so much right now. Every game, every point matters. And it's not that I think this team's going to, you know, hit the skids and fall out of the playoffs or anything like that, but it just, I don't know. It just seems like my gut tells me, like, this is important. This is important every single night. My hopes are high for this team this year. I am over the moon excited and super, super, I hate that term, over the moon. I hate that. I'm super excited. I'm super happy. I'm super relieved. And, boy, the anticipation as this season goes is just, it's there. Oh, it's there. I like the way we play. We're going to jump into this episode. 106 is where we're at. Goes quick. We recap the loss to the Jets. We'll talk about an overtime victory against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then we're going to talk about sustainability. Can the Flames sustain this torrid pace? And then Blake Fryers, our buddy from the Debate Hockey podcast, is going to join us to break down the Pacific Division at the quarter mark of the season. After that, we'll roll into some Flames news, news from the Pacific. And then we'll answer some live listener questions if we get any tonight. Hopefully we do. And then we'll wrap with a quick preview of the 4-game California road trip that'll see the Flames play 4 games in a row against Pacific Division opponents. Something we haven't seen too much of this year. All right, Flames fans, let's talk hockey. Let's recap a couple games that took place this week. As Winnipeg came to the Saddle Dome on Saturday night, a hockey night in Canada battle. Winnipeg comes out on top 4-2. One of them was an empty netter. Flames jumped out to a 2-0 lead in this game and looked on fire in the first period. And I thought, holy cow. They go on to, play an okay game. I didn't think they were horrible. Hellebuck gets the win, his 7th of the year. Markstrom the loss, his 4th loss of the year. Kyle Connor, game-winning goal. He was flat-out amazing. Flames outshoot the Jets 36-28. One thing, the topic of the game was a Lucic hit on Dylan DeMello, Flames defenseman. And happened in the second period late. Lucic was assessed 5 in a game for boarding, but many thought there would be a suspension the next day, which there was not. There was no talk of it. I did not like this hit. And this is coming from a Flames fan. I did not like the hit. Now, I'm also the same guy that thinks that players who turn their back should get a penalty. I'm just saying, I see it all the time now, especially in junior hockey. It's just rampant. Guys coming to hit them, they turn quick and take the risk of going face first into the boards to draw a penalty. It's BS. I hate it. I see it every night. I see it every single night in junior hockey and youth hockey. And I see it quite frequently in the NHL, not quite as bad in the NHL. I did not think this was the case that night. Could DeMello have done better job of protecting himself? Yes. Should he have? Obviously. But evidently he's willing to risk the rest of his season to try to get Lucic suspended, which to me is silly as all silly can get. I don't know. I didn't like the hit though. I thought maybe he was going to get a game for it. I'm glad he didn't, being a Flames guy, but, the optics on it weren't good. He drove right through him, like no let up at all. That's what happened. Good hockey game. And the Flames lose, which stinks. Monday night, two nights later, Pittsburgh and Sidney Crosby come to the Saddle Dome for another Pittsburgh Penguins battle. And Pittsburgh, last time the Flames played them, we shut them out 4-0 and probably arguably our best game of the year. This game went really well for the Flames. Flames scored first in the second period. Pittsburgh evened it up. Getzel scored on a tip from Crosby on a power play and a Michael Backlund penalty in the third period. And we went to overtime. 7 shootouts later. Oh, wait, in overtime there was some back and forth stuff. And Johnny Gaudreau had a couple unbelievable chances. And I think coaches are ruining 3-on-3 overtime. I do. It's so ragged. And then all hell breaks loose for 3-4 rushes back and forth, which is super exciting. But, it's a lot of rag in the puck. Shootout goes 7 rounds. Gaudreau scores in the shootout. Backlund scores. I think Gaudreau had 2 or 3 posts in the game. He was really clicking. And another guy clicking that night, Tristan Jarry. You guys, honestly, I think the best goaltending performance I've seen this year. Markstrom's in Pittsburgh was amazing. This was really, really good. It was a really, really goaltender. Jarry was so many point blankers he made saves on. He had no business making, and not fun because it was the Flames, but I'm telling you what, if that would have been the Florida Panthers against the Pittsburgh Penguins, I would have been like, this guy's on and I'm watching this game because this is damn entertaining and really interesting. And Flames get 2 points. I mean, I don't like giving other teams overtime points, but if they're in the Eastern Conference, it don't matter. That's good. We're all good with that. All right, Flames fans, it's time to talk about another question of the week. And everybody I talked to in Calgary land about this, it was, is this sustainable? Can we keep this pace up? Can we keep this going? Everybody asked my opinion and I said, well, I don't know. That's my honest answer. I don't know. I don't think we can keep this pace up, but I like the way we're playing. Let's talk about a few things, though, with the sustainability. Johnny Gaudreau, 25 points, 22 games. That's 1.14 points per game. In his career, he's got 519 points in 542 games, which is a .957 points per game pace. So he's just a little above his career average. Is it possible Gaudreau keeps this going? He's in a contract year. He's playing like it matters this year, which irritates, well, it makes me happy, but if he's re-signed in Calgary and he doesn't play this way next year, I'm going to be freaking pissed off. Gaudreau's already got on my shit list a few times over the last couple of years. But he's been amazing this year. He's playing both ends of the ice. He's working his ass off. He's scoring goals. He's making great passes. And is it possible? Yeah, I think it is possible. This is sustainable. He's not giving me any indication he's going to cool down, which is a great thing. Andrew Mangiapane, 15 goals through 22 games played, third in the NHL in goals as of yesterday. 26.3 shot percentage, very high. His career shot percentage is 17.6, which is really high. And he's almost 10 points higher than that this year. Is this just sustainable for Mangiapane? No, it's not. And I think we've already seen signs of it. The last couple of games, his chances have went down. And I think we've started to see signs of it. Let's just make sure he doesn't fall back too far. That's the biggest thing there. Jacob Markstrom, 1.75 goals against average, .938 save percentage. His career, he's got a 2.73 goals against average, so he's almost a full goal lower this year. His career save percentage is .911, so he's actually 2 points better than that. He's got 5 shutouts this year. He's got 13 in his career, so almost half of his shutouts have come this year. I think the shutouts will slow probably, but this Sutter system helps him. And this guy is healthy and good. We have got a great backup that'll get him rest. And I think this is sustainable as long as he stays healthy, because this is why we signed him, right? He's doing exactly why we signed him. It's been really, really impressive. And fun to watch. Now, team goals against Calgary is 43 as of last night in 22 games played. That leads the league, tied with Carolina. We're averaging 1.95 goals per game allowed on this team. That's really, really good. And you know what? Is this sustainable? Yeah, damn right it is. This is the Sutter system. You plug a good goalie into the Sutter system, and bingo, this is what you got. And this is making teams not want to play the Calgary Flames. I'll tell you that right now. Road wins. This team is 9-2-2. That's 20 points of a possible 26 on the road. Phenomenal. Is this sustainable? No. It's not. But if you want a positive out of this, this team only plays 2 more games in the Eastern time zone. Maybe that's a negative. We've been good on the road. I don't know. But that record on the road is not sustainable. Goal differential. The Flames are plus 29. Theoretically, if you get depth scoring, you know, you look at the team and theoretically, if we got more scoring from a Monahan, a Dubé, and the guys that are slow right now, this could improve, actually. This stat could improve. This is sustainable. This could improve, I think. I don't know. I know one thing. When you look at the standings and a team is in the plus side in the differentials, usually they're making the playoffs. I've watched it closely the last couple of years, and most teams that are a plus make the playoffs. Conference leader. Did you think the Calgary Flames would be the Western Conference leading team at quarter mark? Now, I know it's only the quarter mark. We've got 60 games to go. That's a lot of hockey. A lot can happen in that. We've been fortunate on a lot of things. We haven't had injuries. Knock on wood, wherever we got wood here. We've been fortunate on a lot of things. Our good players are playing good. I don't think anybody saw this coming. 31 points in 22 games. That's points in 18 of 22 games. It's great. I'm starting to believe we got a strong enough sample size now to believe. Is that points pace sustainable? Probably not. Because if it was, we'd end up with 114.8 points at the end of the season. I don't think that's going to happen. I love this Flames team. I think they're doing great. I don't think we can continue at this points pace. But think about some of the what-ifs. Dubé has got 2 goals in 22 games. His shot percentage is 4.3, which is low. His career is 9.3. What if he gets back to his career pace? That helps. Blake Coleman's got 59 shots in 21 games. That's pretty damn good. And his shot percentage is 5.1 this year. His career is 9.6. What if we get him going? This team's got a lot of things going. Is it this start sustainable? No. Is it close to sustainable? Yeah, it is. I like what I see from this team. I have a real good feeling about this team. And I love that it looks like they're getting along. It looks like they're gelling. And have you ever seen a team buy in like this team is buying in? Jordan Flames Unfiltered now. You can hear him on the Debate Hockey podcast every week. My buddy Blake Fryers. And it looks like, Blake, are you out front of the Vancouver Mental Health Hospital?
Nah, I'm just paying homage to my former boy, Jacob Markstrom, behind me, Brick Wall. Brick Wall is here. All of them shout outs.
Blake's been on the show numerous times, and we're bringing him on to talk about the Pacific Division at the quarter mark. You can check Blake out every week on the Debate Hockey podcast where he joins me on there, and we talk everything NHL every single week. You can check those shows out on Monday nights. Blake, let's talk Pacific, and let's preface this a little bit. You're a big Canucks guy, so I didn't bring you on the, I usually bring you on the show to just freaking torment the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I never schedule you after a Canucks win. I don't do that because it's tough on me then. But, the Pacific Division's weird this year.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you'd describe it. It's been a little bit weird and a little bit surprising. Me and you do our predictions every year and we're off a little bit on the Pacific. Did you think Edmonton would be where they're at and that Calgary would be where they're at?
I predicted Edmonton to finish second. I predicted Calgary to finish fourth. So to answer your question, no, I didn't think Calgary would be off to this good of a start. But I mean, they're getting really good depth scoring. Mađupani leading. He's in the top five in goals. Lucic has got 6 goals. Lindholm's been good. I mean, Monahan's kind of struggled a little bit. Johnny Gaudreau in a contract year, he's on fire. And then Chris Tanev, he's been really good for you guys. He stayed healthy his whole tenure in Calgary, and that was a big concern for a lot of people with him coming from Vancouver with a lot of health issues that he had. And then, of course, Calgary's got one of the best goaltending talents in the league. And Daniel Vladar and Jacob Markstrom have been rock solid for them. And they got, what, 8 shutouts this year so far?
7.
7, maybe?
I think that Markstrom being really good this year hasn't been that huge a surprise. I think we both know, and I think you'd agree with me, that if he's healthy, he's good.
Yeah, he's a top 5 goalie in the league when healthy, for sure.
But neither of us, I mean, I didn't, and I follow the team every single day, but I didn't know what Dan Vladar would bring to the table. I loved what I saw in training camp, and yep. It's transferred right over to the regular season, and we're going to see him this weekend. I wouldn't doubt if we don't see him 2 of the 4 games as we head out on a little Canadian.
Well, he got that shutout in Boston. He hasn't started since. I'm kind of surprised.
He's got 2 shutouts in a row and hasn't started since. But hey, but Markstrom, he's the man. And I mean, we have Vladar there for a reason. I said at the beginning of the year that he's going to get 20 starts, and if he wins 10 of them, we're freaking golden. And he's well on his way to do that. So,
what, he's 4-0?
No.
3-0-1?
He had a lot.
He lost to Toronto in overtime.
In overtime, which was probably one of his best.
That was a 1-0 loss.
It's a friggin' great game. It was a really good game.
Yeah.
What team has been your biggest surprise in the Pacific?
I think it's got to be Anaheim.
Anaheim's a good team. They're
young. I mean, Kevin Shattenkirk's turning back the clock. They're getting good goaltending. Zegras has been good. Getzlaf is turning back the clock like it's 2007 again. Like, boy, like this team, they're young. Troy Terry is like on fire. I mean, he had his point streak snap, but he's been on fire.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch and a team
they we are.
On Saturday, no, Friday night, we take on Anaheim. That should be a good matchup. Biggest disappointment this year.
Cosby Vancouver.
Oh, so okay, year of
it. There's no other way to put it, man.
Let's cram on Vancouver for a minute here, and then we're going to get off that subject. But, you're pretty in tune with Vancouver. What do you think the three main causes of this year, and how would you fix it if you were, ownership in Vancouver?
It's just tough, like seeing the guys they brought in, and you know, Ekman Larson has been good, Connor Garland's been good, Dickinson has been trash. He hasn't been very good, but
I'm a little surprised on that. I thought that was a decent pickup.
Yeah, it just hasn't translated. Demko's been amazing. I mean, there's not much that he can do back there.
I just think if he wasn't, because I mean you didn't know really what you had this year for sure.
No,
you thought you know, and we all thought that, you know, that Demko would be fine.
Right. And he's proven that he's been very good. He's legit.
Yep. He's been very, very good.
I mean, I think that Jim Benning's got to go. I mean, it's time. I mean, he's been there 8 years. This is supposed to be a playoff year. We both predicted him to make the playoffs. We both predicted him to finish third in the division. So, I mean, sometimes what's the old saying? When it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
And when you keep losing and losing and losing and losing, it's tough on the guys in the room. And you heard JT Miller's comments about not many people buying in. And I mean,
that was disturbing.
Is that on Travis Green? Is that on Jim Benning? Like, well, who is that on? I don't know. But
I think that's on all the players, isn't it?
To an extent, I mean, Elias Pettersson had a nice power play goal last night. It's like I showed a sign, like, okay, like he still got a good shot, but he's got 4 goals in 24 games.
What do you think the reason for this just falling off the off the earth that he has done?
His first goal in 9 games last night. It's just there's no effort from him out there. It's just like a completely different player, a player that. In his first 2.5 years was as confident as anybody in the league. He pulled off those toe drags in the neutral zone and let the puck go right when he got it. Now he's deferring. He's not one time in the puck. I mean, I'm wondering if he's still worried about that wrist.
I don't know. I think it was the first game of the year last year. I think Calgary played Vancouver and he came in over the blue line and it was on his offside wing and he ringed one off the corner crossbar post and into the net. And I thought, holy shit.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, and you know, I watch their games this year and that team just looks so lifeless.
They're just lifeless. There's no urgency. There's no energy. There's no buy-in. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sucks to say, but they have to start over. Not maybe start over, but like a retool. I don't know.
How can you start over though? You have so many guys on such a long term.
Well, thing I would do, I buy out Tyler Myers.
You can't afford to.
Yeah. It's a contract that they could buy out. I mean, they save a little bit of cash there. You got to like maybe JT Miller gets traded. He's up in 2 years. Maybe you look at a Bo Horvat trade. I don't know.
You go right to the core, huh? You look at a Brock Besser trade?
Possibly. Maybe Minnesota's been wanting him for years. Maybe you package, one of their young defensemen.
Minnesota can't afford him though.
And maybe a Ford. I don't know. Maybe it's Kevin Fiala for Brock Besser.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like maybe, maybe it's a lateral move like that. Like everybody's talking about, oh, they're interested in Evander Kane. That ain't the answer. That is furthest from the answer.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. Like, I don't think that would be a good choice either.
I don't know. It's just frustrating. Like, I'll admit, out of the 23 games that the Canucks have played this year, I've probably watched 7 because the team I work for in BC plays every weekend and we play a lot of Wednesday games and the Canucks play a lot of the games that we play. So I get to watch highlights in that, but I mean, it's frustrating. Like, nobody saw the Canucks losing 16 of the first 23 games. And the fact that Jim Benning is still his job is a little concerning.
You know, I mean, obviously I love when Edmonton loses and I love when Vancouver loses. But yeah, to take it a step further though, it's also really fun when you're challenging Edmonton for something that matters. Mm-hmm. And when you're challenging Vancouver for something that matters.
Yep.
And so this year when Vancouver is struggling, yeah, it's nice that the Flames fans don't have to worry about like battling them for a playoff spot, but yet the edge isn't there, and that fun, you know, getting ready for a big Saturday night in Vancouver just isn't there either. And
that's, games come into Vancouver, yee, free 2 points, baby. Basically what it is.
There's so much of an effort.
The team is hanging. So fragile right now.
And you know, last year Vancouver was not really good at all. And you know, but a lot of people wrote things off last year as, hey, it's a rough year. It's a COVID year, and it was. Yeah. But now it's like, well,
no excuses.
No, there's no excuses this year. And this team just is not showing effort at all. And
Their top players aren't being their top players other than JT Miller and Bo Horvat and Demko. That's it. Quinn Hughes has been pretty good. He's almost a point a game, but it's frustrating for sure. There's no other word. That, if I had to explain the Canucks season in one word, it'd be frustrating. So,
is San Jose a team that is surprising you a little bit?
A little bit. I mean, they're getting good goaltending from James Reimer, and Aiden Hill, surprisingly, like out of all the tandems in the league, like that's, oh fuck, like, I don't know. Nah, that's a little crazy to me.
Yeah, it's definitely one that's got my head shaking too, but I mean, this team has not looked that bad.
Seattle's yet. Dog shit.
Seattle is a struggle bus right now.
Vegas might crawl out of that hole. They're only 1 point of a playoff spot, so they're kind of knocking on the door. Kings are 4 points of a playoff spot. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Vegas will be back in the run here.
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
I would be shocked. I'd be shocked.
Vegas is go time next year though. Once they get Eichel back and
how do they afford everybody though next year?
I don't know. It's going to be, that is going to be a fascinating question to see unfold.
I don't even know how you make that work. I've looked at it and I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. I don't know. We talked about at the beginning of the year about the Pacific Division as a whole, and we talked about them being a weak division. Mm-hmm. Is this division better than you expected, or are they just top heavy?
Well, when you got everybody up top beating the shit out of Seattle and Vancouver.
We haven't even played Seattle and Vancouver.
Oh, really? Oh, then. I mean, we played Edmonton twice, lost to them twice.
In the Pacific Division,
we played Anaheim twice, lost to them twice.
Calgary's schedule is so messed up. Listen to this. Edmonton, we've played them once, lost. San Jose, played them once, lost. Anaheim, played them once, lost. Vegas, haven't played them. LA, haven't played them. Seattle, haven't played them. Vegas, haven't played them. So
yeah, at least you're getting all your East Coast games out of the way quick.
We have two more games in the Eastern time zone. Yeah. Two more games. So this team's, you know, now this weekend's when it starts, man. It starts on Thursday night as the team heads to LA, for 4 and 6 nights. And, where you go, LA, Anaheim, Vegas, San Jose.
No, if you can get out of there 2-2, that's a win.
You think so? Is that what the goal is? Do you think if you're a California
to go down south to California, the California trip, I've always thought is one of the toughest road trips a team could ever go on. It doesn't matter if you're in the Pacific Division. It's a grind.
Yeah, except for those
teams. If you can get out of there, if you can, like, obviously, like, you don't want to lose two games, but if you can get out of a split, I mean, I think you take that and run with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, that's a tough trip.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping we can get 4 of 8. That would be nice, but
maybe you squeak out of that
would be great.
Shoot out or something.
Yeah, 6 of 8 would be a freaking bonus, man.
Yeah, for sure.
What team scares you the most in the Pacific?
In terms of, like, what do you mean?
It's tough when your Canucks aren't all that relevant. I'm not saying that to be a smartass, but if you're,
I'd say it's Edmonton then.
Yeah.
Because of Drysdale, McDavid, like, it's a two-headed monster that you just can't slow down.
I can't remember who it was on the Sportsnet panel last night, but they said that Calgary, it was either on the Pittsburgh side or Sportsnet, that Calgary makes good teams look mediocre. Their style.
Here's the way I look at it. When you look at Calgary and Edmonton, I'm taking Edmonton's forwards. I'm taking Calgary's defense, and I'm taking Calgary's goaltending.
So who wins down the stretch between those two?
Now you got to ask yourself a question. Is the Oilers' offense better than the Calgary Flames' goaltending? That's what it's going to come down to, right? Whose offense is better? That's what it's going to come down to. Can you shut down McDavid and Draisaitl down the stretch, or is McDavid and Draisaitl just going to walk all over you? I mean,
it's scary because, I mean, let's face it. There's not many defenses that have shut them down. Yeah, it's dynamic.
They're the two best players in the league for a reason, right? I mean, it's not close.
No.
Like, Drysdale's got 40 points in 19 games for crying out loud. Like, it's ridiculous is what it is.
Who's more playoff ready? It's tough. We're only 25% into the season.
I mean, two teams? Two teams or the whole league?
The whole division. The whole division.
I would say Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is big. They're strong. They've been there before. They've been to a cup. I would say Vegas second best. I'd probably say Calgary because Daryl Sutter knows how to coach in the postseason. So does Dave Tippett, though, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I love Dave Tippett as a coach. You know, I look at, you know, like playoff ready. I'm already thinking that. Boy, maybe I'm getting freaking ahead of myself here because there's a lot of
hockey. You might lose 10 games in a row.
No kidding. When do you feel safe? Like, seriously, though, like, when do you feel safe? I don't. But let's just look at this. In a playoff series, like, I mean, Anaheim, I'm not fearing a ton because I think they're young. San Jose, I don't know. I mean, I would worry if I was San Jose, I'd worry about their goaltending. Vegas, I think defensively is amazing. They have experience.
You're playing Dallas in the playoffs.
Yeah.
First round.
Which scares the shit out of me because we never beat Dallas.
Did you get triggers from COVID season?
We never beat Dallas.
You got some flashbacks there, didn't you? That 4-0 lead in game 6.
Shut up. God, you get one shot. Blake, you get one shot. God, I'm not having you on again.
It was on a silver platter. Had to take it.
Oh, Vegas, so let's get back to that. I don't want to get off your stupid Dallas topic. Vegas, honestly, do you trust Lehner in net? I don't.
I don't, no.
And I don't know who scores on that team. But then I would say who scores for Calgary in the playoffs, too. I don't know because I worry about some of our guys not showing up.
You can talk about the playoffs, though, because Calgary, I think, is a lock.
Oh, I think they're a lock because of the bottom. It's a top-heavy division. And
I think Calgary and Edmonton are locks. I think Minnesota's a lock. And that's it. Those are my three locks.
How about Colorado?
Oh, sorry.
I would say Minnesota's a lock. Colorado's a lock.
And Winnipeg
is a lock just because of the who else is in the division. I think Calgary is, I think Edmonton is, and I think Vegas is.
Yeah. That's fair.
There's been a lot more teams determined already, now more playoff spots determined at the quarter mark this year than I think in a lot of years past.
Well, it's tight. Like,
yeah.
You look at 6-1 in the wild card, separated by 4 points.
Yeah.
So. Oof. Be interesting to see what happens.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Vancouver Canucks this week.
No, it will not be interesting to see. Because I'm so sick and tired of every single news outlet's talking about these guys. Like, we get it. They suck. Now just make change.
Blake, I promise I'll have you on again this year, and hopefully we're talking about...
Hopefully we're talking about a new coach, new GM, something different maybe.
I hope so.
A change in the guard?
I said
getting off his wallet.
I don't know. It's a mess. It's a mess. But I don't know. At least your junior team's doing well. You can check Blake out as the
15-3
voice of the 15-3 Salmon Arms Silverbacks of the BCHL. You can hear him on the play by play for all those games. And also you can check him out with me every single Monday night on the Debate Hockey Podcast. Thank you, Blake, for coming on and talking
the Pacific Division.
And, I apologize for your Canucks, and I tried to take it easy, and you freaking turned the thing and script and got me on the Dallas thing, damn it.
Gotcha, buddy.
Good talking with you, Blake. Talk to you later.
Okay, see ya.
All right, Flames fans, back after a great interview with my buddy Blake Friars. Time for a little bit of Flames news as we roll on through the show. One call up, one send down. Walker Duehr got assigned to Stockton, saw 0 games in this latest call up. Adam Rziska, recalled from Stockton, has not played yet. A milestone the other night was a milestone night for forward Andrew Mangiapane as he played in his 200th game at the NHL level. And, yeah, it's pretty crazy, huh? That doesn't seem like that's even possible. Where are we at here? In the division. One negative thing to talk about in the division. You know, San Jose is surprising me this year. But what do they do now with Evander Kane? As he's off his suspension, they put him on waivers. He clears waivers and is sent down to the Barracuda. Well, now what? Do teams really want him? Is he going to get a chance somewhere else? His agent, of course, is floating it out there that some teams are interested. I think that might be a ploy, but we'll see. We'll see. The division's been odd for the Flames this year, as the Flames have only played, I believe, 3 games in the division. And now they head out on a 4-game roadie tomorrow night. Thursday night is the Flames stop at LA first, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. 4 games on the road against Pacific Division teams where it's basically, it's a 4-point game, man. It is a 4-point game. Crazy. I'm looking forward to that because this is where this team can show us what they're made out of and really make some ground.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about that road trip as it starts on Thursday night as the Flames take on the LA Kings. I believe that's an 8:30 Mountain Time start. LA is 6 in the Pacific. They're 9-8-3 with 21 points. Then they back to back it. They head on up the road to Anaheim on Friday night, another, I believe, 8:30 Mountain Time start. Anaheim's now currently third in the Pacific, 11-6-3, 25 points. We played Anaheim once earlier this year in Calgary at the Saddle Dome on the 18th of October. Anaheim came out on top that night, 3-2. That was a game, if I remember right, Calgary was up and then ended up losing to Anaheim, a very frustrating game. Anaheim, I think they're a much improved team this year. A team I've really enjoyed watching this year. Some of their young talent is fun and really good to watch. So that should be a big matchup on Friday night. We get Saturday off and then head on over to Las Vegas to take on the Vegas Golden Knights Sunday late afternoon. Vegas currently sitting fourth in the Pacific, 12-9-0. 24 points. I believe that changed tonight because I think Vegas played, but all right, you get the picture. San Jose is the final stop on Tuesday night of the four-game road trip. They currently 11-9-1, 23 points. Calgary has played San Jose one time previous. That was in November 9th. In a game that was probably, I would say, Calgary's worst game of the year. I think most of you would agree, in a 4-1 loss at the Saddle Dome. And I kind of hit home when I was visiting with Blake about that, and we were talking about the Pacific, and I said, well, Calgary's played Edmonton once, Anaheim once, San Jose once, and that's it in the Pacific. And I'm like, and they lost, and lost. Can't afford to lose divisional games. Let's get on the road here, and yeah, let's win some games so we can get that monkey off our back. Make sure you check out the game tomorrow night with us, as it is a Hot Mic watch party game. And what is a watch party? Well, a watch party is where you hop onto the app and you join me and the rest of the group as we watch a Flames game together, talk about the Flames, talk about the plays. We have some contests in there. We can win some prizes. We have two big contests where if you guess the first goal of the Flames right, you get entered in the Hat Trick Super Challenge. At the end of the year, I'm giving away $100 NHL shop, NHL.com gift card, a Flames Unfiltered hat, Flames Unfiltered t-shirts, and every single night we give away Flames hockey cards. Gave some great cards away last week, and we're looking to do it again this week. That is the game, 8:30 Mountain Time. Calgary visits the Los Angeles Kings, and it is the next Hot Mic watch party. Well, we talked about sustainability, and as I prepared for this show, I started to learn that maybe this is more sustainable than I originally thought, which even made me feel more comfortable and more happy. Yeah, it's been crazy, the start to this year. Nobody saw this coming. I do have one beef, and I'm just get it out there now. On social media, I always make fun of the Vancouver fan base, and I have to make fun of Calgary's a little bit here. Why are we already on the Facebook pages and the Twitter already worried about signing contracts for next year? God, can we for once just enjoy winning, and we'll deal with those problems when they come? But we got a shot this year. We got a true shot to really do something this year, and we all need to put a smile on our faces, get our butts in the stands at the Saddle Dome, and cheer on this team. And It so far looks like a real special team. Well, thanks for spending your time listening and supporting Flames Unfiltered. We appreciate each and every one of you guys that join on the show, watch the video, listen to the podcast, interact on flamesunfiltered.com. You have to get to that website. Check that out. And, yeah, we appreciate all of you guys. Get on over to any form of social media. Find us at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. That moves us up the charts. So important. Yeah, we appreciate it. Flames head out on a busy, busy road trip this week. Four games in the Pacific Division as we go on the California tour. Let's make it count, boys. We're back next Wednesday night to talk some more Flames hockey. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.